If you were to set out to write a biography, the story of a person's life, you would probably begin with their birth. This is the beginning of their life here on the earth, where their deeds come in contact with those that they meet while walking this earth. Yet when we look at Jesus the Christ, the story of His life begins not with His birth. For Jesus existed long before He was born on this earth. That's our topic today as we explore God's truth for the world.
The Churches of Christ bring you Truth for the World. And now, Paul Meacham, Jr.
Thank you for joining us today. We entitled this program Truth for the World because it is our desire to take the truth of God's Word and distribute it throughout all the world. Oftentimes we refer to this as a period of Bible study, and it is just that. We hope that you make your Bible study part of every day of your life, for God's Word is the guide that we need to take us to heaven. Not only is it a guide, it is the guide. It's the only way that God now reveals Himself to man in such a way that man will know what to do in order to be obedient to Him. We must know what the book teaches, and if we know it, then we can obey it. And by obeying it, we will be saved, because God has made that promise to all men everywhere. Today we begin a brand new study. Lord willing, this is going to be a rather lengthy study. We're going to take an examination of a person's life. Sometimes we refer to a person's life that is laid out before us in book form as a biography. Well, we're going to do that now, for the Bible tells us about many great people. But of course, the greatest of all is Jesus the Christ, and we're going to look at His life. As we mentioned in our opening comments, we usually begin by looking at a person's birth. But that would not be appropriate with Jesus, for He existed long before His birth. For that reason, we entitle this particular lesson, The Pre-Existent Christ. Jesus did exist long before He was born, long before He was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Those things that are true about Jesus, that made it possible for Him to exist before He was born, are very important to us. Those are the things that make it possible for Him to be our Savior. Those are the things that made it possible for Him to be a perfect sacrifice for our sins. It is vital that we understand them. Because if we do not understand Jesus before He came to this earth, we will not understand His mission when He came to this earth. So we begin today by looking at that time before Jesus walked the earth. Let's begin first by looking at the proof of the preexistence of Christ. The Bible doesn't just merely state the fact that Jesus existed. There are a number of proofs that are given to us, and we need to examine those proofs and understand them so that we know that the Bible can be trusted in this matter. First of all, we need to understand that the Bible teaches that Jesus existed before His physical conception. Now, we know that that conception took place in a woman named Mary. But in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 15, John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, "This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me." John is declaring the fact that Jesus was greater than he. The phrase in this particular passage, that He was preferred before me, indicates that Jesus had a higher standing, a greater rank than John, that He was more important, He had greater authority than John had. However, the phrase that He was before me indicates that He came before me in time. Now, it's very easy for one man to come before another in time. He merely needs to be conceived before the other person. But that didn't happen with Jesus and John. If we look in Luke chapter 1, particularly verses 24 through 57, we find that John was conceived about 6 months before Jesus was conceived. John, of course, conceived in the womb of Elizabeth, his mother. Jesus conceived in the womb of Mary, his mother. But here we find John saying that Jesus existed before him, yet Jesus was conceived after him. It really goes back much farther than John, though. We see that the Bible teaches that Jesus existed even before Abraham did. Now, it's important for us to realize that there's about 2,000 years of time between Abraham of the Old Testament and Jesus when He was born on this earth. Yet, the Bible teaches, John chapter 8, beginning in verse 56, that Jesus existed before Abraham did. Notice the words as Jesus spoke with the Pharisees. He says, your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus claimed to exist before Abraham did. In fact, he claimed to exist and to be self-existent. That's what the term I am means, and we'll discuss that in a little greater detail in just a moment. We see that the Bible teaches that not only did Jesus exist before John the Baptizer existed, not only did he exist before Abraham, but he even existed before the beginning of this world. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus existed before the beginning. Now, why is that important? Why is it vital that we understand it? Let's look at a number of reasons that the pre-existence of Christ is important. Well, first of all, beginning in the verse that we just left, John 1 and verse 1, it proves to us that Jesus is God. Now, I know that there are some who deny this very fact. In fact, I received a letter some time ago from someone who watches the television program in California. He was very disappointed in me because in that particular program, I taught that Jesus is God. Well, that's not my teaching. That's the teaching from the Word. Read with me again John 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That verb, was, is very important. For the Greek tense that it was originally written in indicates that in the beginning, always was the Word. And the Word always was with God. And the Word always was God. Now, I know that there are some who have translated the Bible, and they have mistranslated this verse. They've said that the Word was a God, and they use the small letter G to try to take away His deity. But that's not what the text originally said. That's not what the Bible teaches. You remember when we read from John chapter 8 that Jesus said before Abraham was, I am. Well, do you remember that when Moses spoke with Jehovah in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, that when he asked, who should I say has sent me? He said, I am that I am. This phrase, I am, means the one that is eternally existent, self-existent, the one who causes himself to be, who was not caused by any other. The psalmist praised God for this very fact in Psalm 90 and verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Revelation chapter 1, beginning in verse 7, says, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Now notice, we're talking about the Christ here, the one who was pierced. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the one who was pierced says. The beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. When we deny the fact that Jesus is God, we deny what the Bible very clearly teaches. The Bible teaches us that He existed even before the beginning, and that is one of the reasons that we can understand that He is God, that He is deity, that He is one who must be worshipped by us. It's also vital that we understand the Bible teaching about Christ's pre-existence, the fact that He existed before the beginning, because the Bible teaches that He is the Creator of all that is. Oftentimes, the Bible refers to God in general as being the Creator. But specifically, we're told that He, the second person of the Godhead, Jesus the Christ, is the Creator. Now, all three persons of the Godhead had a role in creation. But we find that it is the second person who actually made the creation. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 13, teaches that He, being the Father, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He, now the He here is the Son, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by Him, this is the Son, the one whose blood saves us, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven, and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. all things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. It is not possible to overplay the importance of the Christ in creation, for He is the one who made all things. In fact, we read from John chapter 1 and verse 3 that those things that He did not create have not been created, for He made all things. Now that teaches us two very important things. Number one, that Jesus is not a created being. For if He Himself were created, then He could not be the creator that the Bible talks about. And secondly, that He had to exist before the creation. The Hebrews writer in chapter 1, beginning in verse 10, praises Him this way: "You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of Your hands. They will perish, but You remain. They will grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed. But You are the same, and Your years will not fail." God is great, and Jesus is God. He has all of those attributes of being God, one of them being the fact that He existed even before time. We see this in the fact that He did exist, and He did create that which we now live in. He is our Creator, and because of that, we should praise Him. We also need to understand what the Bible teaches regarding His pre-existence to understand how much He gave for us. For the Bible shows Him as one who gives to those who are undeserving. And it is true that we have often been undeserving. It is while we were sinners that Christ died for the ungodly, we being those who were ungodly. He is the one who gave, and He gave Himself, the very best that there was. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, teaches that we should have this mind, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself. Do we understand exactly what that phrase means? It's really a sailing term. It means to take the wind that is in a sail and spill it out so that it's empty. That's what Jesus did of Himself. He was existing in the form of God, but He emptied Himself of that and took the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself. We need to understand exactly how great that humiliation was, how great a humbling that was, because He became obedient even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. Jesus did humble Himself. He emptied Himself of existing in the form of God and took on the form of man. Does that mean that He emptied Himself of His deity? Of course not. We do know that there were things He gave up to come to this earth, but we also understand that that did not stop Him from being God. It did not make Him a human being only. It made Him both man and God. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be made rich. As we go on in this study, we see that Jesus is the one who was great and wealthy and rich in spiritual things, existing in the form of God, and emptied Himself, that we might become rich, that we might partake of that heavenly divine nature. John chapter 17 and verse 5, Jesus says, "And now, O Father, glorify Me together with Yourself, with the glory which I had with You before the world was." This is at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, John chapter 17. It's very near the end of His life on earth, and He wanted to have again that glory that He had had even from the beginning. We need to understand the pre-existent Christ in order to be able to understand the great sacrifice, the great giving that was displayed when He came to this earth to die for you and for me. We also need to understand the pre-existent Christ in order for us to have a full appreciation of His complete obedience to the Father. He came to this earth, but not for an arbitrary reason. He did not even come to do His own will, but rather He came to be obedient to the Father. John chapter 6, beginning in verse 38 says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do My own will, but the will of Him who sent Me." we need to understand that Jesus did not expect or does not expect from us what He Himself has not already done. In Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 8, we read that though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. And having been perfected, He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. He came living a submissive and obedient life to the Father. And He requires the same of us. He authored salvation. He made salvation for all men who will obey Him. Just as He was obedient, He expects the same from us. We need to understand that when He was willing to submit Himself to the Father and be sent to earth, that we have to submit ourselves as well and do the will of the Father. We also need to understand the pre-existence of Christ, because we need to understand that He was alive before His physical life, and He is still alive after His physical life. He is alive and serving as our mediator. If we don't understand that, then we lose a tremendous blessing that God has given to those who are His children. In 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, John writes, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Jesus is righteous because of the way He lived on this earth. But Jesus is our advocate, the one who can mediate between us and the Father, the one through whom we go to Jehovah God, because He is still alive. He was alive before He was born, and He is alive now, even though His physical life on this earth has passed. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, Paul says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all." We need to understand that Jesus did exist before He was born. He did not come into being at the virgin conception or the birth in a stable in Bethlehem. He has always been alive. He has always existed, and He always will be alive, for He is God. He is deity. He is our Creator. Yet He gave up existing in that form of God for a period of time in order to come to this earth and die for you and for me. When He took on a human body, it was for a very specific purpose, a body that had been prepared, according to the Hebrews writer, for the purpose of sacrifice. He came and emptied Himself of what He was to become what I am physically, that He might suffer, for me and for you. He is truly the great Redeemer. He is the one who gave Himself in order to buy me back. Since He came and did the will of the Father and lived obediently, should I not do the same? Should I not also live obediently for the Master? If He, being God, existing in the form of God, could empty Himself and come to earth and live in subjection to the Father, should I not also live my life in subjection to the Father? I think the answer is very clear. There is no other possible adequate response to the tremendous sacrifice that He made for you and for me. Till next time, this is Paul Meacham, reminding you that God's Word is the truth for the world.